says, moving up to where I'm standing. She accidentally bumps Charlize's arm and makes her drop her lipstick on the floor. The lipstick lands right on its tip.
You did that on purpose!
Char yells as she gets up on her toes, up in Miss Saunders' face. But Miss Saunders gets as serious as a heart attack.
I am not a child. I do not play games with children,
she says, staring hard at Char. Char tries to stare down Miss Saunders, only you can tell Miss Saunders ain't backing off.
That lipstick cost me $20. It's designer stuff. I want my money, Char says.
When Miss Saunders tells us all to get to the office, there's no mistaking that she means business. She tells everybody to walk a few steps ahead of me and her. Miss Saunders is harder on me than anybody else. She grabs me by the arm and pulls me off near the lockers. I'm looking at her hand, like she better get off me. I guess she has a second thought about what she's doing, because she turns my arm loose and starts giving me one of her speeches, talking about how well I was doing in class and working in the office, telling me I need to choose my friends better. When we walk into the office, Miss Carol and Maxine act like they haven't even noticed Charlize or the twins. But they have sure noticed me. And I swear I can see the corner of Maxine's mouth go up, like she's holding back a smirk. A teacher standing in the office asks what happened. Miss Saunders says we were cutting class in the bathroom, smoking, destroying property. Dag, I'm thinking. It wasn't like Char was ripping out the sink. She was just writing her name on the wall with a marker. Just letting people know she'd been there. Chapter 19.
Dear Diary, they took us up top today. I cried when the sun touched my face. It has been a long time since I seen it. The others, they jumped and ran and laughed like they was free. I sat down in a corner by myself. I stared at the sun, then shut my eyes tight. I want to hold on to the sun for as long as I can, to save up the picture for when I am below again and need to remember that the sun is always shining. I squeeze my eyes closed till I see stars. When I open them again, Kinjari is there. Akilma.
The school detention room is in the basement, next to the boiler room. Damp, cramped, hot. Nothing but desks and chairs with Miss Birdie, the detention teacher. Even when it's snowing out, you can go sleeveless in there and still be sweating. Today ain't no different. It's hot. I'm sweating, and it ain't nobody's fault but Miss Saunders. So here I am, writing in my diary, trying to see the sun. I'm supposed to be doing English homework. Miss Saunders gave me 25 pages to read in 2 days. I don't get too far with it, though. Caleb comes into the detention room, making noise. He's excusing himself all the way across the room, squeezing between desks, knocking over books. You'd think a boy that has been the president of the class and student representative on the PTA would know how to walk into a room. I'm hoping he will sit up front. No such luck. He plops down 2 seats away from me and starts talking before he's seated.
Hey,
he says in that low, soft voice of his. I stretch my legs out till they're even with the front legs of the chair in front of mine. What are you doing here? I ask.
Mr. P put me in here, he says. I was doing the boys' bathroom.
For a while, I just doodle on the edges of my paper. But I can't help asking.
Doing what in the boys' room?
Scrubbing down the joint, he says, plain as day. You clean the boys' room? I'm frowning up my face.
You touch the toilet and all that stuff?
Caleb's shaking his head yes with every word I say.
Disgusting.
I suck my teeth. Miss Birdie comes over to us and tells us to separate.
Get some more space between you, she says. Two more seats over, Caleb, she insists.
Caleb moves over. Then, as soon as Miss Birdie starts grading papers again, he's back near me.
I don't believe you, I whisper. Ain't nobody at this school crazy enough to clean the bathrooms,
I say. Then I shut my mouth. But Caleb, he does seem crazy sometimes. He and his dad go feed the homeless on the weekends, and once a month, Caleb volunteers at the senior citizen's home. Last year, he even got the school to hold a neighborhood cleanup day.
Yeah, I cleaned up the boys' room, Caleb says, smiling. Got down on my hands and knees like my mama taught me.
You should have asked the janitor to help.
He's doing his job, Caleb says.
It's the rest of us that aren't doing ours. Caleb's hands don't look like they've been in no toilets, even if he was wearing gloves. His hands are big, with nice, white, straight nails, and his fingers are long and strong, and they move all over the place when he gets excited. Miss Birdie comes over and lectures us about why we're here in detention and what will happen to us if Caleb doesn't move over and shut up. For a little while, we write notes to each other. I write, "Why bother with that smelly bathroom if no one else cares about it?" Caleb writes back, "You have to take a stand when things aren't right." I look at him and wonder why he didn't take a stand last year when we was on the bus and everybody was making fun of how black I am. Instead of writing back, I open up my folder and start writing in my diary.
Dear Diary,
Caleb smells good. Sometimes when I'm around him, I lose my head. I forget that I'm mad at him and that I promised myself I would never, ever forgive him for not coming to my defense on the bus. Those white teeth, them eyes, and that voice, they make me forget sometimes what he's done. And that's why I try to keep away from him. I don't want to forget. Malika. Caleb looks at me for the longest time.
Things can change, he says. Like things between me and you. Things at the school.
Don't go there, Caleb, I say.
I said I was sorry, remember? Said it 10,000 times. Give her brother a break, why don't you?
This ain't McDonald's, Caleb. No breaks today, I say, moving to another seat. Caleb's got about 6 books with him. He takes care of business, keeps up with homework. That's how he is. But even 2 seats over, I can smell him. He don't wear that cheap stuff that hurts your nose like some boys do.
Dear Diary, should you ever forgive a boy who done you wrong? Malika.
Caleb can be persistent. He moves down 2 seats. Miss Birdie, the teacher, tells us both to settle down, shut up, or be ready to spend the day in detention again tomorrow. That doesn't faze Caleb none. He keeps running off at the mouth.
Why are you bothering me, Caleb? I ask.
I shouldn't have left you when they started teasing you, he says finally.
Then he starts playing with his pencil, chewing on his lip. We both get quiet for a while.
I figured if I left you, the other kids would stop messing with you.
How can you think something like that? I ask. Caleb says that ever since him and me started hanging together, the kids teased me. So he figured if he got away from me, they'd stop.
So why are you trying to be friends with me again now? I ask.
He tells me that things are still going bad for me, even with him not around. So he figures he can't make my life no worse. Besides, he whispers, I still like you. A lot.
Eyes don't lie. That's what a camel would say.
So I look deep into Caleb's eyes.
God, they are gorgeous. Big and brown. I think about Akima. Right now, she'd probably say, Malika, forgive and forget.
That's easier than dragging around anger like sacks of stone.
I want to laugh at that one. Those is Mama's words. She says them when I get mad at her.
I want to forgive Caleb, but I'm scared.
What if I start liking him again and he does what he did before? Mama and Akima, they could forgive him.
I am not that strong at forgiving. Not yet.
Caleb stares at me all dreamy-like.
I didn't mean it, I swear, he says. I won't ever let you down again, Caleb says softly. I nod.
Chapter 20.
Miss Saunders is crazy. Last week, she's got me stuck in an in-house detention. This week, she's asking me to stay after school so she and me can go over my diary again. I'd promised to meet her as soon as the 3:30 bell rings. I lied. I get to her room at 4:45. Why should I bust my butt getting to her when she got me put in in-house detention? Instead of rushing, I stay and help Miss Carroll do some Xeroxing, then watch the cheerleaders rehearse outside. When I get to Miss Saunders' room, she's not even there. The janitor says she's in the auditorium. We have to give speeches in her class tomorrow, and she wants us to each do it from the stage in front of a mic. She's there checking out the equipment. I figure Miss Saunders is on the stage, so I go into the auditorium by the backstage. The ninth graders are putting on The Wiz, and they got all kinds of junk on stage. I hit my toe on a wooden monkey and almost trip over some long ropes and cables. I want to scream when I see the witch's costume hanging on a hook in the corner like somebody's in it. I can overhear Ty and Miss Saunders talking. They can't see me where I am. This stuff was supposed to be off the stage for my class tomorrow, Miss Saunders is saying. Nobody here does what they say they will, when they say they will. Thanks for agreeing to help me move it, Ty. Ty stands up and walks over to Miss Saunders. They push two tables toward the stage curtains, then stop to take a breath. I don't mind. I like the kinds of things you're doing to keep students interested, Ty says. I start to leave backstage when something Miss Saunders says makes me stop in my tracks. I wish it was helping their grades, though. Half my seventh graders are flunking this semester. Ty's eyes look like they're gonna fall out of her head. Mine probably do, too. How can that be? Ty says, standing and stretching her arms to the ceiling. Then, bending over like a ballerina taking a bow, she grabs hold of her ankles and pulls her head in between them. I hear your students in class. They love it. They get so excited. Miss Saunders bends over to get a good look at Ty. They are so enthused in class, full of great ideas. That's great, Ty says, standing and stretching from side to side. Their insights are fantastic, Miss Saunders says. Right on target, but their test-taking skills are just terrible. Ty heads for the bed Dorothy wakes up in when she finally makes it home and grabs one end and starts talking. That's not unusual for many of our kids, but you've managed to get them to like Shakespeare. To read something other than the TV guide, help them learn to test better. Don't kill their spirits by flunking them and making them think that nothing they've done really counts. Miss Saunders sits down on the edge of the bed.
I can't give them what they haven't earned.
Nobody is asking you to do that,
Ty says. Miss Saunders says McClinton students have to be held to the same standards as other kids around the city. Ty says that's true, but that test ain't the only way to prove you know something.
They will thank me later, Miss Saunders says.
Ty sits down on the bed and folds her legs.
If you're still here.
Miss Saunders stands and folds her arms tight.
I know the students have been hard on you. The picture on the blackboard, the name-calling in the halls, kids telling you to buy a new face.
I don't want to talk about it. Let's get this stuff off stage. Miss Saunders gets up and starts dragging the end of the bed toward where I'm standing backstage. I'm fumbling with my book bag and trying to get out of there. But I don't make it too far. I can't help wanting to hear what they're saying. Ty walks over to the edge of the stage and sits down. Her short legs look funny hanging over the side. She starts drawing circles on the floor with her fingers.
Ease up, she says to Miss Saunders. None of us is perfect.
That's easy for you to say, Miss Saunders says.
Then she starts talking real soft and sad, telling Ty how when she was little, she prayed to God to make her face perfect.
He didn't, she says. So I tried to make up for it, to be perfect at everything else I did.
Then Miss Saunders says she always had to be better than everyone else at everything, because people always thought she was less than due to her face. She says she always had to dress better, to get the highest grades and be the most creative. At her job, she had the highest sales record in the company for 6 years straight.
Even here at McClinton, she says, I put in longer hours and give students an educational experience that they won't find anywhere else.
That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself and everyone else, Ty says, coming closer to Miss Saunders. You are a great teacher with good ideas. These kids will like you no matter what you look like, she says. But it's your need to be perfect that will ruin you here, not how you look.
Miss Saunders takes out a mirror and starts redoing her lipstick. The next thing I know, she's staring right at me through that mirror.
Malika Madison, you little sneak.
Chapter 21.
If it wasn't for Ty, I don't know what Miss Saunders would have done to me. Even from where I'm standing backstage, I can see that she's pissed. Teachers don't go for you knowing their personal business. That's the one thing besides hitting them that makes them go totally nuts. All that yoga and kung fu stuff Ty does must really work because she's calm, real chilled out. Miss Saunders is fidgeting. She is sitting there with her arms crossed. Ty asks me to have a seat. Then she explains how it's not polite to listen in on other people's conversations. I know she's right. I tell her I won't repeat nothing I heard. Ty believes me, but Miss Saunders, she just ain't buying it. I didn't tell Char nothing about the incident when I saw her the next day. Char is one of the kids flunking English, so I know hearing some dirt on Miss Saunders would make her day. But I keep quiet about it. Besides, Miss Saunders is gonna get hers soon enough. Char told Juju she was flunking English, and it's because Miss Saunders don't like her. Char says Juju told her not to worry. Juju says she'll handle things. In class, Miss Saunders says she wants to see me after school. It seems that woman don't know how to make nothing happen during the school day. She always makes you stick around later for her. After school, when I walk into Miss Saunders' classroom, she's got her feet on the desk and her head shoved all up in a book. When she sees me, she takes her feet down off the desk.
Good. You came, she says. Sit down.
I sit down and hope she's gonna make it quick. Miss Saunders is suited down and buttoned up tight like usual. Today she's got on a blue suit with gold buttons, the same kind they got on Navy uniforms. I wanted to speak with you, Malika. Miss Saunders starts rubbing her hands together, cracking her knuckles. About your diary. We never did discuss it. How's it coming along? Before she says anything else, I pull out papers and show her my stuff. I'm talking to her about Akilma, like Akilma's a real person. Miss Saunders says my stuff is good. She tells me I get 2 A's for it. Says I can keep it up if I want to, but she won't make me. I look her up and down. I tell her I don't know what I'm gonna do. I ain't for doing schoolwork when I don't have to. Miss Saunders gets real quiet. She acts like she doesn't want me to leave. I'm missing the I Love Lucy show on account of her, so I stand up to go. She finally gets around to what she's been wanting to say all along, I guess. Have you told anyone about my conversation with Ty? Miss Saunders gives me a hard look and goes on about how important it is for a teacher to not have her personal business out among students. How it can undermine her credibility, whatever that means. Well, you don't need to worry, I say, coming closer to Miss Saunders' desk. I ain't telling. Some teachers got pictures of their family on their desks, their kids, husbands, even their dogs. Ty, she got pictures of this little Korean girl she sends money to every month. Miss Saunders ain't got nothing or nobody on hers. It's like she ain't got no life except for her life at work. Miss Saunders gets up and paces the room. She don't know what to say next, I can tell. All this walking around she's doing is starting to get to me. I go to the blackboard and start drawing on it. You act like you're the only one in the world who's been teased, I say, looking her right in the eyes. Please, look at me. Miss Saunders stiffens up. I keep talking. Some of us is the wrong color. Some is the wrong size or got the wrong face. But that don't make us wrong people now, does it? I sit myself on my desk and put my feet up, like Miss Saunders had done. Shoot, I know I got my good points, too. Miss Saunders cracks a smile. Malika, you have a lot of good points, she says. Then she says how good I am at writing and math. And she starts in on me about bringing up my grades. Before she gets too far, I ask, you got any friends? Miss Saunders hunches her shoulders. I've had a few in my time. It's hard to keep them with all the traveling I did in my corporate job. Ty and you are buddies, right? Girl, you ask 1,000 questions, Miss Saunders says. Then she answers me straight. Yeah, Ty and I have been friends since college. Ty was the one that suggested I come here to McClinton. I gather my books and prepare to leave. I'm glad you've got one friend, I say. Chapter 22. I'm almost home before I remember that I want to enter my writing in a library contest. So I turn around, walk back to the library, and talk to the librarian. She says the contest winner will get $100. I sign myself up right away. I tell the librarian I'm going to turn my papers in tomorrow. At home after I eat, I go straight to my room and rewrite all of Akilma's stuff. I write them up real nice and neat. When I'm finished, I only have 5 pages. That ain't enough, I'm thinking. So I stay up half the night writing more. Mama comes to my room a few times and tells me to go to bed. But I beg her to let me stay up till I finish.
Dear Diary, Kinjari isn't so skinny anymore. They had him working the crew, so they let him eat good. I cried when I saw him. I curled up in a ball and hid my face. Kinjari came closer and sat next to me. There is no one more beautiful than you, Akilma, he said. That only made me cry more. I'll go where you go, he said in my ear. You are a good boat builder at home, I said. They will want to keep you here when the ship docks. You will be free almost. Kinjari told me that he could never work on a boat like this just to see the sun and feel the wind whenever he pleased. I would rather be a slave with you than be free by myself, he said. Then he held my chin and helped me drink water from a wooden cup. At first I would not look him in the eyes, but then when I did, I was glad. Kinjari's eyes warmed me like the sun. Akilma. I never talked to Mama about Akilma till last night. When I got up this morning, she asks how things turned out. I let her read my diary page. You're a good writer, Mama says, setting the papers down gently. You could be a professional writer someday, Mama continues, sounding just like Miss Saunders. Like your father. Daddy wrote stuff? Stuff like this? I ask, putting my hand down on the papers. He wasn't as good as you, Mama says, going to the sink for a glass of water. She won't drink cold water from the fridge, just warm tap water. But your father, he wrote nice letters, poems, stuff like that. He ever write a poem about you? Or me? I ask. Don't you remember the poem he wrote about you? The one about you being beautiful? Mama asks. Me? What? I ask, getting excited. No, I don't remember. When did Daddy write that? Where is it? I don't remember, Mama says, getting up for more water. Then she stops in her tracks. Well, now, let's see, she says, scratching her head. Maybe it's in that box in my closet. I put stuff there that your dad gave me. I forgot about the poem, though, till just now. I run up the stairs, two at a time. I hop over the top step and almost fall into Mama's room. I push past the shoeboxes full of dream books and no-good lottery tickets and fabric scraps and go for the one marked with my dad's name. Gregory. I lift the box out of the closet like a fragile piece of glass. But I'm too scared to open it up. When I do, tears come to my eyes. There's pictures of me and Daddy standing in front of the house, playing football in the yard, him carrying me on his back up the stairs. I haven't seen these pictures since Daddy died. Mama's yelling for me to hurry up because I got to go to school in a half hour. I'm looking through all the pictures, but I don't see no poems. I find Daddy's birth certificate and the driver's license from when he drove a cab. I just about give up, but then I see a crumpled brown paper bag that's been smoothed out and folded tight. The words is written out real neat and straight and strong. Brown. Beautiful. Brilliant. My Malika is brown. Beautiful, brilliant, mine. Mama is calling me. I can't answer. My mouth is full of Daddy's words, and my head is remembering him again. Tall, dark, and smiling all the time. Then gone when his cab crashed into that big old bread truck. Gone away from me for good till now. Malika, you got to go to school, girl, Mama says, heading upstairs. I fold the poem and stuff it in my pocket.
Then I take the picture of Daddy with me on his back and put that in my other pocket. "Find anything?" Mama asks, sitting next to me on the bed. "Just some stuff," I say, walking out of the room to get my jacket. Mama doesn't ask what kind of stuff. It ain't that she don't care. She just ain't ready to look or listen to Daddy again. She shoves the pictures back in the box and puts the box on the shelf. I kiss Mama goodbye, and soon she's in the sewing room, threading the needle. By the time I shut the front door, all I hear is that sewing machine going like crazy. Chapter 23. At school, I skip lunch period and go over to the library and hand in my stuff for the contest. The librarian says that over 100 kids have entered this contest. I almost take back my entry when she tells me that. But then I start thinking about how much time I put into my writing. I ain't got nothing to lose, I tell myself. I'm almost out the door when I see some books on the table. They're poetry books, so I sit down and look at them for a while and think about Daddy all over again. Working in the principal's office has got its benefits. You get to see and hear everything. Like parents coming in to tell Mr. Bajoli off. Juju came by today. She didn't have an appointment, but she wouldn't leave, so they pulled Miss Saunders out of class and got somebody else to cover her for a while. Before Miss Carroll can open her mouth to speak, Juju is screaming loud as anything. She's saying her sister is failing because of Miss Saunders. Mr. Pajoli comes rushing out of his office, asking Juju to quiet down. He puts out his hand and introduces himself. Juju looks at his hand like dirt's on it. She ain't gonna shake it. He asks her to calm down. She won't. Juju starts saying who she is and what she's come for. She's got on a skin-tight, fire engine red dress that swishes like cheddar cheese on a grater every time she moves. She's banging her fist like a gavel on the front desk. She sticks her long, bony finger in Mr. Pajoli's face and says, "Before that woman came, Chaga got A's. Now all she gets is D's. What's up with that?" She shouts. Juju's right about Char's bad grades. As soon as Miss Saunders came here, she separated me and Char's seats. I guess she could see I was letting Char cheat off me. I ain't been doing Char's homework like I was, neither. Lately, I've been making up excuses, saying Mama's keeping me busy with chores, stuff like that. Before Mr. Pajoli answers Juju, Juju is on to a new subject. "Char's all the time talking about that woman at home. Mostly how mean she is and ugly. That teacher can't be taking her problems out on my sister just 'cause she got burnt on the face or something." Mr. Pajoli asked Juju to come into his office. "No," Juju says. "She's not leaving until she sees Miss Saunders." Mr. Pajoli finally tells Miss Carroll to send for Miss Saunders. Miss Saunders comes into the office with her head up and her gradebook under her arm. She's wearing red today, too. She seems calm, maybe because she's never met Juju before. Mr. Pajoli waves his hand for Juju to follow him to the office. Juju shakes her head. "No, we ain't hiding this behind no closed doors. I want this thing out in the open. Right is right, so let's handle our business here," Juju says. Mr. Pajoli stands his ground. "Business is handled in my office or not at all." Juju's still mouthing off, but she follows behind Mr. Pajoli. "This is Char's third time in seventh grade," she's saying. "Char can't afford to do no more time here. Her other teachers know that. They're giving her the grades she needs to move up." Miss Saunders hands Juju some papers. Most of them are incomplete, she says. Charlize would rather pass notes than do assignments, Miss Saunders tells her. Juju eyes the papers.
I don't know what happened next. Miss Carroll told me to go get the janitor and tell him the principal wants him to clean up the mess in the boys' room.
Miss Carroll could have called the janitor on the intercom. She wanted to get rid of me is all. The next time I see Juju, she's stomping out of the office, saying Char better not flunk seventh grade. Her feet sound more like bowling balls falling to the ground than feet. Then all of a sudden she stops and stares Miss Saunders up and down.
You don't know what you're doing. You never even taught kids before. You flunked my sister. You won't teach nowhere else. I know people. Big time people, she says, walking out of there.
Chapter 24.
Miss Saunders doesn't know what she did, pissing off Charlize and Juju. Now all Char does is talk about getting back at Miss Saunders. She ain't joking neither. Last year, when the gym teacher flunked her, Char ripped a hole in the top of her convertible, hot glued another teacher's grade book together when he told her sister she was missing too much class. Me and Char and the twins are hanging out behind the school when Char says Miss Saunders is gonna get it the worst, that we're gonna meet tomorrow at school at the crack of dawn to start messing up Miss Saunders. I'm watching the sky. Lightning is flashing across it like God is trying out his electricity. And the clouds are black, like rain's gonna pour any minute. I'm scared of storms. Char ain't. She loves watching rain beat on people and lightning chase people inside. We gonna jack Miss Saunders up, she says, putting another coat of blueberry grape polish on her nails. I hate that ugly woman. Hater. I think about telling Char about the conversation I heard between Miss Saunders and Ty in the auditorium, but I don't. I ain't no squealer. Never was, never will be.
Give me five,
Raina says, walking over to Char. Ignoring me.
What's shaking?
Char tells Raina how she's gonna get even with Miss Saunders.
It's payback time,
Char says, laughing out loud. I ignore them and keep watching the sky.
You know that big globe Miss Saunders got in her room? The one she says costs all that money.
Well, that's gonna be the first to go, Char says.
Gonna carve that sucker in two like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Raina and Raisa slap each other five and talk about spray painting the walls.
You gonna do all that just because you got in-house detention? I ask.
Char and the twins turn away from me. I swallow hard.
You been on detention before, Char. Why you getting all crazy now? I ask.
Char keeps polishing her nails.
Ain't nobody ugly as Miss Saunders gonna be embarrassing me every time I turn around. Then go ragging on me to my sister Juju. I can't just let that go. Just wait.
Tomorrow morning's just the beginning.
I can't get in no more trouble with Miss Saunders, I whisper. Shut up, Malika,
Raisa says.
Char knows what she's doing.
I sure do, Char says, throwing her nail polish at my head. The bottle misses me, but breaks open on the steps.
I can't get in no more trouble, that's all I know, I whisper.
If things ain't bad enough already, here comes John John McIntyre and his crew.
The sky's gonna be as black as you in a minute, Malika, he says, looking up at the clouds.
His friends think he's funny. They laugh and give a few high fives. Then they start singing.
Malika, Malika, we sure wanna keep her.
Shut up, Char yells.
John John McIntyre, I will kick your butt, she says, going after John John.
Jacob Char, one of his friends says. Who she thinks she is coming at you that way?
John John don't say nothing. He just looks at Char with a stupid smirk on his face.
See you later, Midnight,
he says to me. I can feel myself getting mad, my fists balling up at my sides. Then I remember a poem about Midnight that I seen in one of those poetry books at the library. The words of the poem come tumbling in my head, and I start to smile. Midnight. At midnight, if you have eyes to see, there's beauty and there's majesty. Sweet brown babies tucked in tight, shooting stars bursting through the night. Strong, sturdy trees reaching for the sky, dancing and swaying to the moon's lullaby. Quiet waters, silent nights, angels soaring toward the light. At midnight, if you have eyes to see, there's beauty and there's majesty. Char don't understand what's going on with me. She looks at me and calls me stupid, the way I'm smiling to myself. Then she tells John Don to shut his big stupid mouth. He winks and keeps moving, but he's still looking back at me, like he can't figure out what's got a hold of me. Char's saying something about how she's got to always look out for me, but I ain't listening, really. I'm saying that poem over in my head again and again. Next thing I know, here comes Caleb. When Char sees him, she starts talking real proper, all up in his face, telling him how she likes his braids, asking the name of that cologne he's wearing. Hey, Malika, he calls to me, ignoring Char. Caleb sure looks good, and he smells even better. He's got on a lime green African dashiki with tiny golden swirls stitched on it. He and me just stand there, smiling at each other. Char pushes herself between us. You can thank me for how good Malika looks, she says, snuggling up to Caleb. I bought them clothes for her. Gotta keep my girl looking good, she says, licking her lips. Caleb tries to peel Char's fingers off his arms. It ain't easy. She's holding on tight.
I've been thinking some more about what we talked about in detention, Caleb says to me, finally getting Char off him and moving closer to where I am. I've been thinking about changing things around here, making things better, he says.
What you mean, like scrubbing floors? I ask, wrinkling my nose.
Some of us are getting together tomorrow to talk about ways to improve McClinton. You should come, Malika, he says, peeling Char's hand off him again.
Malika's busy, Char snaps.
Yeah, I say, busy.
Come after you're done, then, Caleb says.
Char bursts out laughing. Sure, Malika will come after she's done.
Me too. I'm coming too.
We're all gonna help save the school, right, Malika?
She says, shoving me so hard I almost fall down. I'm half listening. I'm trying to figure a way out of this mess. Ever since Char came up with this plan of ruining Miss Saunders, I've been praying for God to give me a strong spirit like Akilma's and Kinjari's.
Listen up, Malika, Caleb says, grabbing hold of my arm and whispering in my ear.
Your girl Char is whacked. You better stay clear of her before she ends up taking you down with her.
Char and me are friends, I say quietly.
Yeah, right, Caleb says, shaking his head. Char's the kind of friend that will get you locked up or shot up, he says, walking away.
When Caleb is all the way down the street, I can still smell his cologne. I can still hear him warning me to stay clear of Char.
He don't know what he's saying, though. You can't just stop being Char's friend. She don't go for nothing like that.
Malika, get over here!
Char screaming at the top of her lungs, like I'm far away. My heart starts beating fast and wild. I know Char's plan ain't gonna mean nothing but trouble for me. But I got to go along anyhow. Nobody ever turns their back on Char. Not unless they're tired of living or something stupid like that.
Chapter 25. I lay awake in bed 3 whole hours before I sneak out of the house to meet Char.
I keep trying to think of some reason I can give Char for not showing up. A good reason that Char will buy, so I won't get my butt kicked. But I'm too scared to think straight, so I put on my clothes and go. It's still kind of dark when I get to school. During school hours, the front door